There, I had a little trouble getting on. I think they're a little busy on the Zoom world.
What's your hat say? Is that Wake Forest?
It is.
Okay, nice.
I'm flying my colors today.
Good deal. Is that
Anyway.
where you live, down in North Carolina?
No, I went to Wake Forest in 1964 to 68. So I support a little bit of their sports program, so cheering them on, even though they're not in school.
Oh, good.
So, what's on your mind today?
So we started, I started to go through the book since we last talked, and started to identify, the top 30 households and the revenue that they produce. So I started working on that. I've been, Jen has been helping me do some other stuff with the book as well, tightening up stuff. So we started to look at C shares in the book. I've been reviewing, Morgan Stanley will give us a 1% higher payout on our book if we get people enrolled in GPS, the financial planning tool, and then do a monitor with it, and if we have them online. So if I get those two things done, I get a 1% bump in my revenue from the clients that have over 250 that don't have those things now. So identified clients that fall into that category, and some of them are in the top 30 of my book. So I got some reasons to be calling some people back. A couple of reasons to be setting up some calls and scheduling time with them. So that's the stuff, that we've been working on those things. I was curious to talk to you about the time management schedule that you put together. I printed that off from our last conversation, and was starting to look at that. And
What?
it's this sheet.
What specifically? What you do with your day?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. There's a number of different things we try to do to help your productivity. This is a fabulous opportunity to get people to engage in behavior that they wouldn't engage in before this. What do I mean? I mean, you can get people to go online now and you never could before. You get people to sign up for services that they wouldn't have signed up for before. For example, people do not want, I mean, I'm not a germophobic, but my brother always was, and he always said, "Oh, that money is so dirty." Well, now it didn't matter if the money was dirty. You didn't care. You just washed your hands. Now it could have coronavirus on it, right? So you really don't want to mess with paper money. So people are going to be very interested if you have electronic opportunities to do everything. I mean, why would you fax things when you can sign with DocuSign? Or whatever other service you guys are using. So the teams I'm talking to are taking advantage of this and cleaning up their practices where people wouldn't, they were getting statements or they were getting dividends delivered or something like that. You can get rid of all that garbage and get them online, electronic statements. Get them to use the app, make electronic deposits for people that never would have bothered before. So that is a great, I mean, your firm is right on in terms of the GPS, the monitoring and getting them online. Those are do it. 'Cause once you get them set, you don't have to do it again. I always like jobs where once I do it, it lasts forever and the person is taken care of. You know, dig the hole once. It's a pain to dig it, but it's over. Once it's dug, we pour the cement. We don't have to do it again. Right.
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, our complex manager is pressed really hard on that issue, and he's making us basically do all that with our clients now. So I think we're supposed to do e-signature for everything.
Right. He's smart.
So.
Yeah. It's kind of like I wrote a birthday card out, went up to my wife, got a stamp, walked it down to the post office, walked back. 2 hours later, I had done something that would have taken me 30 seconds to do online. You know, send a birthday card online versus delivering it. Now, my brother will appreciate the birthday card, but productivity-wise, forget about it. Snail mail is crazy. E-signatures is smart. So, like I said, people don't want to bother with that stuff because they can't see a reason to do it. Now, you know, it's like Ron Emanuel said, never waste a good crisis. Take advantage of the crisis to get people to do the things, and you will permanently raise your productivity. That's the thing. If you can do something today that you never have to do again, it's brilliant. Brilliant. Meaning you change the client's behavior, you never have to have them. You'll never hear about, why didn't I get my dividend check? You know, if you ever hear that, you know you're doing something horribly wrong. Right? If you're, I didn't get my facts, you're doing something wrong. So anything that's in the old analog world, get rid of it, bring it over the digital world, and raise your productivity. So, you know, we're stuck with the idea of folders for Supernova because we haven't seen a great electronic version of the folders. But if we could do that, we'd switch over to electronic folders. Nobody does it really well. Salesforce does a reasonable job, but not as good as what we do. So, you know, we're sort of stuck with electronic folders for a while, but we'll probably eventually get an electronic version of our folders that we can dovetail into Salesforce or something like that, Outlook, etc. Because I really have to do it. I mean, I'm feeling the pressure right now. All right. So, did you get a chance to watch the video for week 3?
You know, I didn't watch that. I read the book, but I didn't watch the video. So no, I missed that part.
Okay. So the idea is that every week we'll give you the video, which is teaching you the weekly topic, and then I'm here to answer questions based on the video. So it's just a productivity increase. Instead of us taking an hour for me to teach it to you, you take a half an hour, watch the video, and then we spend a half an hour answering questions so we can get everything done and save you money and the firm money by making us only take a half an hour of my time, which costs money, right? So an hour costs more than a half an hour. So if we can reduce my time to a half an hour by having you watch the video, we save you and the firm money. So that's what I want you to do in the future.
So with that, just a question. So if I understand this correctly, like the way that this program is set up, this is designed to be, is it an 8-month program total?
It's a year long.
It's a year. Okay. So, but as far as the calls with you, I mean, they end at some point, right? I mean,
after a year. Yeah. We do once a week for 12 weeks. So 4 weeks on segmentation, 4 weeks on organization, 4 weeks on acquisition. Then we go to once a month. And we do things in those monthly calls that we didn't have time to do during our weekly calls, didn't cover, or we follow up on things we didn't get done because we were too busy because of coronavirus or something happened. You went on vacation or, you know, your world went upside down or something. We didn't get to do it. We'll cover it in those 12 weeks. I mean, those next 9 months. And the reason we did it this way is I used to teach the whole thing, simply on the phone, and I would have an hour conference call and I would teach you the information. You'd ask questions, but you weren't really prepared to ask questions because you'd never heard the information before. And then we would, then the following week you'd have questions, but we'd be on to new material. So this idea is that you watch the professor, you write down your questions, and then we answer them. So you have time to think about it. And if you don't agree with something, you can raise issues and say, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. And I'll go, it's okay to do it the way you want, but our best practice is this way. And these are the five reasons this works better than the way you're thinking about doing it. Okay? So our productivity between you and I accelerates by 50 to 100, you know, 50% probably. Okay.
Makes sense.
So we have a workbook. The book is fine. My book is great, but it isn't the workbook. The workbook is designed for each week. And the workbook the video follows the workbook, but I articulate in the video in 35 or 40 minutes what I can't do in the workbook. So I give you stories and examples and everything. So you're pretty well up to speed by the time you and I talk. And then if there's something that you're stuck on, we deal with it. And I give you homework or I tell you where to read or, you know, somehow figure out something to help you to understand the strategy and why we do it that way.
Okay.
So,
I was just going to say, so how long are most guys spending each day or each week prepping and getting ready for the following week? Like what do you think the average?
All right. So the best practice is for you guys to watch it together if you can, but if you can't, then watch it separately, but you should both be watching the video because this is, you know, this is a team effort. Everything that you do is Jennifer is doing along with you. So then I tell the teams to meet for 15 minutes before my call and make sure everybody's done their homework. Okay. Now you're a one person team. So you meet with yourself and Jennifer to decide whether you've done your homework or not. And she's done her homework. And then you meet for 15 minutes after the call and just decide who's going to do what based on what we agreed needs to be done based on the homework for each of the calls. Okay. So each of the calls has got homework associated with it that moves you down the path so that it's not painless, but isn't as difficult as all of a sudden I tell you, you got to do this tomorrow.
Right.
You do a little bit each week and gradually we're done. And you look back and you go, damn, we did a lot. We did a complete makeover of my practice in 8 weeks or 12 weeks. And that's the idea. So you don't have to do it all at once or you don't stretch it out over 2 years. You know, we can get this done in 12 weeks, but whatever you get stuck on or you don't get to finish, we can finish in the next 9 months. Plus learn a lot of other things that we just don't have time to teach during this program.
Okay.
Okay. So we probably should have gone through that, but we've been sort of interrupted by the attack of Corona-19, right? And it's been wildly disruptive. But we're fine. We're only in week three.
Right.
Just to quickly go through week three, we focus in on the organization of the team. Now, this is important for you, even though you're a sole proprietor. It's important to understand the different roles and responsibilities that you have to take on as a financial advisor and how to hold yourself accountable. Teams have big advantages and they have big disadvantages. One of the advantages of teams is leverage. Leverage means you don't have to know everything if you have a teammate that knows what you don't know. Right. You know what they don't know, they know what you don't know, and so a team is better than an individual. The problem is with teams, people can hide. People cannot carry their weight. People can be a burden on the team. So productivity is directly dependent on the quality of the people associated on the team and the accountability. The good news is teams should have the advantage of accountability with each other. The bad news is most teams have no accountability because they don't want to offend anybody. So they hope that everybody's doing their job. And so what we do is we bring plan, process, and rituals to the whole process of teams interacting. So we give roles and responsibilities, and we have accountability. The key to productivity increases is accountability for you, for a team, for anybody. If I don't hold you accountable, you'll be less productive. Okay? If your manager doesn't hold you accountable, you'll be less productive. If you don't hold yourself accountable, you'll be less productive. I mean, think about it on workouts, right? Who knows if you cheat on a workout? Nobody. But if you got a trainer there, yeah, you can't cheat, right? They watch you. Right. So that's why we hire trainers. That's why we hire coaches. That's why we hire, yes, to teach us the proper way to lift the weights, but to make sure we show up, we do it, and then we do our homework in between. That's why we hire coaches. All right. We become a better self. We become our best self when we hire coaches to hold us accountable. And you should get 100% credit, even though you didn't do it by yourself, for the foresight to hire a coach. Some people think, well, I want to do it myself. No, no, that's not the point. The point is to get to that goal, whatever it is. Who cares whether you hired three coaches to get there if you reach the goal, right? They pay you enough to reach the goal. It's worth it to hire three coaches.
Right.
That's why these golfers have three coaches and baseball players and pitchers and tennis players, and everybody has coaches because it's worth it to get to the goal. So for you guys, you're just like a corporate athlete. For you to reach your goals is worth it. So hiring a coach is like peanuts compared to not reaching your goals. Reaching right. your goals of doing 1 million, 5 million, is so much leverage, because you can reach, you can do 5 million, fire the coach, you're still doing 5 million, right? You don't need, right? You can, so that's the game. So you should, frankly, between you and me, you should always have a coach. Always. For the rest of your career, always hire a coach. Always have somebody that holds you accountable. Just like I recommend people always have personal trainers to hold themselves accountable. So what does the structure look like? The structure is the best structure that incorporates all roles and responsibilities on a team. So in the book, The Supernova Multiplier, can you see it? Maybe. Yep. There you go.
Yep. I don't have that book. That's the,
That's the newest. It's everything I've learned in the last 12 years. Seven strategies for growing your practices, but it also goes through in detail team organization. For example, I go through all of the, I put everything in this book that I didn't put in the other book. You know, everything that we've learned in the last 12 years, I wrote the other book in 07. So that was everything I learned at Merrill Lynch in 35 years of managing and being an FA. And since the last 12 years, that's what this book is about.
Okay.
What did I learn since I've been a coach, and what are all, you know, what are all the structure things that you need as an FA? So, it's frankly critical that you read it and listen to it, you know, and read it and listen to it and read it and listen to it and underline it. And anyway, it's got all your answers.
The new book, you're saying, The Supernova Multiplier.
The new book. Yeah. The new book has got everything in there that I frankly wrote it as if I was never going to coach again. So you don't need to say, oh, Rob, why did you leave that out? You know, I didn't leave anything out. Every secret, every idea, everything that I have is in that book. So it isn't written so that you hire me. You know, you read it and you get teased and then you say, oh, I got to hire Rob. No, you should be able to read this book. If you read it carefully enough, you should know everything that's in my head.
Okay.
Or at least was in my head when I wrote it a couple, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago. It took me 3 years to write it anyway. Interviews with FAs, every strategy that works, but interviews with those FAs and how they use that strategy exactly. Okay. And why does the game board work and how did that team use it and so forth? So anyway, quickly go through the organization. We give them director names, so your director of planning, director of implementation of the plan, and everything under this role.
And I saw that. Yeah, I read that in. That was what I was reading in section three. That's good. Yeah.
Right.
Director. I was trying to figure out how that really worked for us, but yeah. Okay.
Right. Brand management. That would be Jennifer, okay? Director of marketing, of course, is you. And then director of leadership is you. But what helps is that if you literally wrote out a one-page plan for the director of planning, director of implementation, director of brand management, director of marketing, and director of leadership, if you wrote a one-page plan for each of those, you'd have a complete business plan done. Okay. So you don't need anything else. So what you do is so we have what we call our gap analysis. And the two of you sit down and go, okay, where are we now in terms of our ability to plan and then our execution of planning? And there's a gap.
Here's a question, because here's what's popping up into my mind. So like I have a way that I've worked my clients over the past like 2-3 years here, as far as creating their cash flow bucket. I work off of buckets. So I have a bucket that's a non-managed account that is basically CDs, and those CDs and corporate bonds, if, you know, if we find good bonds. Yep. But then we use that, and I figure out their cash flow for the year based upon that. And I structure it so that we have 3 years of a rolling bucket for that money. And And I mean, is that, as far as director of planning goes, I mean, is that, like, are you saying that, that you kind of implement that? Like, if I ever, if I get a new retired client, that's a part of the strategy that we're going to put into play. Is that, that where the director of planning comes in and says, okay, well, we're going to run a financial plan for you. We're going to monitor this for you. And then it's sharing this, I guess, ultimately it's sharing the information with the clients so that they know what we're doing.
Yeah. Think of it as if you were on a 5-person team and they made you director of planning, you'd have to say, okay, part of Supernova is that every client will have a plan. Every client will have a cash flow analysis. Every client will have their buckets, however you want to do it. But every client's going to get it, and every client's going to get an update. And we're going to update the plan every blank, every 6 months, every year, whatever you guys decide. But every client gets a plan. Every client gets the plan implemented. So the director of planning says, okay, we're at 25% of our clients have a plan. By the end of the year, we want 100% to have a plan. Therefore, we need to do 4 plans three plans a week or 4 plans a month or whatever it happens to be.
Right.
So that's his goal for doing it. Now he's in charge of making sure that the quality is consistent throughout the team and that everybody is qualified to do it, but he's probably the most qualified on the team. He's not going to do all the plans. He's just going to be the one in charge of it. So at the end of the year, theoretically, that guy would get paid a bonus based on reaching his goal. Okay? On the team.
Okay.
Director of implementation. That's your investment process. So just like your planning process, you want it to be 100% consistent with no, you know, in investing, they call it tails. You know, you have a risk tail and then a return tail. You don't want... Mm-hmm. You don't want the tails to be too big in either end. So your job is that you supernova the investment process. So every member of the team would have a consistent investment process similar to every other member of the team. More important on teams, but you need to do that for yourself so that you're not allowing clients to run the show, but you're running the show. Because you're held accountable for the returns.
Right.
Now, we also have something called the 24-month calendar. All right, the 24-month calendar is what are we going to talk about on these calls other than the agenda that's created by the planning director. So the planning director creates a plan for every client. You create an agenda from that plan to implement it, right? And you don't get everything done at once. So you got to look at liability management and all kinds of interesting things. Those go on the plan through this 24-month calendar. So let's say that January was the outlook for the new year. February might be liability management. We're going to look at the liability side of everybody's balance sheet and make sure that if they need to redo their mortgage, they get it done. We'll run that initiative for 2 months, one to introduce liability management, the second to implement and make sure we get it done so they don't make you crazy. That's why we run a 24-month calendar rather than just a 12-month calendar, because we're not going to introduce – some ideas will be 1 month, some ideas will be 2 months. But every new idea that we introduce where it's product-oriented will be 2 months. So the director of implementation is in charge of training the team on where are interest rates going to be, you know, where are interest rates now, how do you do a mortgage, so forth. So they're kind of director of implementation / training. Brand management is the service director and the operations director. So under brand management is operations. And service. So 1242, Supernova, folders, all that is typically one person. And if there's two CAs on the team or CSAs, then one's in charge of operations and problem solving. If it's one person, they're in charge of clearly both. Director of marketing puts together a 12-month marketing calendar along with implementing the as many as you can of the 7 strategies for growing your practice. And then director of leadership's in charge of everything and holding the team accountable. And there's some game boards and scoreboards and things that we use to visibly hold ourselves accountable, because if it's visible, we'll it becomes more concrete and real than if it's hidden away somewhere. So we kind of put our goals out there on a board and we kind of keep track of it, so it's constantly in front of us. So I have a team, for example, that's creating a scoreboard at home, you know, because their scoreboard is left at the office and they can't go in the office. So they brought their ordered a new scoreboard because they're so dependent on it to hold themselves accountable. So those are the different roles and responsibilities. And you can see on a 5-person team, it would be chaos or just 5 FAs working. Nobody really leveraging the team unless you create some sort of structure like this. And then you build a business plan around that role and responsibility. And set up your meetings and so forth. So one of the teams I was talking to that's really doing things very well has got a kind of a meeting in the, you know, a Zoom meeting in the morning with their team and then a Zoom meeting at night. So they can just kind of close the loop, or they do a, you know, conference call, and you guys could just do a phone call. Here's what we've got going on today for 10 minutes. And then at the end of the day, this is what we're going to do for tomorrow. This is what we got done. This is what we didn't get done. And I think it just raises the productivity.
Okay.
So every week there's a ton of material. It can overwhelm you, but I've got to kind of give it in, put it in your head, and then let you, you know, digest it and add it and kind of put it off or do it now or put it off till, you know, 9 months from now. That's up to you, but I've kind of got to get all this information to you.
So it sounds like as far as the next steps go from where we are right now is really Jen and I talking through the director roles and talking about how we can implement things for the team.
Right.
Because this tightens up really the process of a client coming on board and how we manage them. I mean, I've been, you know, this is my 23rd year in the business and I don't have very much organization around what goes on from a standpoint of this. I mean, I have clients that come in the door. I work on projects with asset management and I, you know, my book has done, you know, my book has served me well. I think I served my clients well, but there's definitely aspects to this that I don't think I can implement everything all at once here. I think maybe there's 2 things that I could tackle, maybe 3, and go at those. And that would be an improvement over where I am now.
Right.
And because there's no way I'm going to, there's no way I'm going to get all this going in a, you know, between now and next week. And it's, so I got to put this into some bite-sized chunks here to just figure out key parts.
Right. I mean, what we ask you to do is do a makeover of your practice that you probably haven't made as many changes in 23 years as we're going to suggest you do in the next 12 weeks, right?
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I basically, here's my, you know, if I'm just honest and just, you know, I think you need to know. I mean, you know, I've got my, you know, my book of business is, it's primarily fee-based. It's primarily clients that are retired or getting ready to retire. That's the bulk of my business. you know, I go into my office every day. I make a list of everybody that I should contact because they pop into my head, and I work off this list. And these are the things that we work off of. And it's a different reason for contacting people, you know, every day, you know, so I don't have five people that I'm contacting because of one specific thing. So my organization behind what I do is terrible. And it's boring. It's mind numbing at times. So these are good pieces to look at. But, you know, interestingly, we're in a business where I can be boring and still make money and still keep happy people. It's just how big do I want? And I mean, I know, you know, I'm not alone as a broker in that aspect of it. So this is kind of like, you know, me wrapping my head around why I want to change. I mean, I read the book and I thought the book was a great idea and reducing my clients. And now I'm at the point where it's like, in the midst of everything that's going on with coronavirus, for me to call up a client on the phone and say, oh, by the way, you need to find a new financial advisor in the midst of everything that's going on, that I couldn't get my head around. But when you said last week, you know, if you have that list of people and you know that you're not going to service them, I mean, the way that they maybe want to be serviced, you know, you earmark them over there and maybe that's a call with them. Maybe that's a call and it's a frank call and an honest call with them. And I've been putting that off just because I've been adding revenue to, you know, fee-based revenue for clients that are, you know, smaller clients because I've been converting them and just doing other things to manage their accounts in a better way. So, but I realized to grow, it's taking on these other steps to make the book tighter. In my mind, like as I'm sitting here today and, you know, Wednesday afternoon, I'm trying to figure out where my next $6 million account's going to come from. And I don't even have a clue. And it's because I don't have a marketing plan.
So we will develop a robust pipeline. But it's not the same way we got the original pipeline. It's not from cold calling or seminars. You know, so what we'll do is we need to build real important, deep relationships with people that are important in the community that will refer you. Some of them are already clients.
Yes.
And some of them are professionals in the community. But it takes effort. And the average financial advisor does not want to do it. And so they want to grow, but they don't want to put the effort in. So what's new, right? They want magic.
Right.
They want to magically grow. The reality is if you do 12-4-2 and you demonstrate organization and structure to your client, they will see that you are more professional than they thought. And therefore, they're going to be impressed and they're going to want to introduce you to others. Okay. And they will open up to you like you've never had them open up before. I just got done with a team and they had taken over a practice and the other guy was a typical, you know, typical advisor broker, and he had their piece of the money, but he didn't have it all. And by doing 12-4-2 and financial planning, these clients are just opening up. And when they open up like a flower, they give you all the rest of their money, which these guys didn't even know existed, nor did the first FA. So instead of having a transition where an FA retires, And their business shrinks because of the, you know, their personality isn't there anymore. These guys are growing the business. They're finding much more inside the book and they're getting introduced where they never got introduced before. So it's kind of the modern financial advisor versus the old one. So you want to be, and let me tell you something, you're going to be so much more proud of your practice when you have done Supernova than when you haven't. You're going to be the one that benefits. You're going to be the financial planning, full implementing that financial planning with structure an agenda for a call with an executive summary going to the client. These are shocking things to the client. You're saying, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you'll get used to it. You'll do it because not because Rob Knapp says to do it, but because the clients go, wow, this is terrific. Yep. You didn't have to send them, you know, $500 worth of tickets to a, you know, a Philadelphia Eagles game. All you had to do was send them an executive summary and you get the same wow as the Philadelphia Eagles tickets. Okay. So it's it costs you virtually nothing to have an agenda and an executive summary, but they'll go crazy because they're just love the fact that you're organized, and what they're thinking to themselves is you're worrying, you're organized, so I don't have to be.
Right. And I feel correct. And this is this is what drew me to this whole process. Yeah. So just asking, and I know we got to wrap up, but as far as between now and next week, I mean, I've identified my top 30 clients. I have a good sense of my book of business right now and where my revenues are being generated and how they're being generated. I mean, and I had not done that in a while. I obviously didn't get everything done between last week and this week that I wanted to get done. So if I'm tackling this between now and our next call, does it A, make sense to push this to do every other week until I get caught up? Or does it B, make sense to highlight some stuff here and say, okay, if you as Rob saying to Rick, here's what I'd like to see you get done between now and next week.
Right.
These are the key components of our time right now.
So you got three swimmers going down the path, down each lane, segmentation, organization, and acquisition. So I want you to make an initiative for all three. Every week, I want you to take some initiative in all three.
Organization
and acquisition.
And then, okay.
All right. So I want you to, you know, theoretically, you want to have 100 clients and no more. So you draw a line at 100 clients, and what you do is you say, if I have to leave on a lifeboat, these are the clients I want in my lifeboat. I can leave the rest here, and it's not going to affect my lifestyle, okay?
Yep.
And the clients, draw that line, and anybody above that line you say is a jerk, I really don't want them in my lifeboat, kick them out. And anybody below it that's a CEO but hasn't got a lot of money yet, I want them in my lifeboat, okay?
Right.
So you want to kind of look at your practice. But when people go when I tell, you know, people to segment their practice, they start from the very bottom and they start cutting the little clients. Don't bother with that. Cut it at 100 and basically mentally get rid of those people. Whether you give them away or send them to a call center or – put them over on the shelf. I don't care. But the problem is if you keep them on a shelf, Jennifer still has to use work with them. And so every time a client calls, that's disturbing your team and using up your time.
Right.
Now, you may say, I've got plenty of time. I'm good. Well, fine. I always tell people you can have as many clients as the hours you're willing to work. So if you want to work, you know, nights and weekends, great. Have 150 clients. But if you want to work a typical 8-hour day with a normal assistant, then you can have 100 clients. The average person after 3 years of doing Supernova has got 70 clients.
After how many years?
3 years.
Wow.
And they typically have doubled or come close to doubling their business. Okay. And that's it's a concierge practice, limited number. You can give them to another FA. You can give them to another team. You can split. I don't care, but I want you to have a concierge practice. How you get there is completely up to you. But the idea is that you want to have a clean, simple business. And you can do 5 million with 70 clients. That's the idea. You can make a lot of other FAs happy along the way by assigning smaller accounts to them. That works. So that's the segmentation piece. So you cut it at 100 and figure out what you got. All right. Organization. Jennifer, you need to figure out on the organization piece, how do you use a scheduler? So you need to have a call with Cindy if you haven't done that.
Okay.
Okay. And what does a folder look like? We probably will not actually build folders right now because we're not in the office. We can't use folders. So we kind of have to use some sort of electronic folder, which you're probably using already between you two. But the idea is for these 70 to 100 clients, we need to build a folder, electronic. We need to put them into a schedule of regular 1242 calls. Cindy will teach you how to do it. You drop the client in, and it populates the calendar for the year, and you know exactly when each call is going to be. With 100 clients, it'll be a maximum of 5 calls per day. Okay? So your homework is to understand how that works and maybe try it on a couple. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the acquisition piece is look at those top 30 clients and tell me where they came from. All right. So where they came from means maybe there's an opportunity to get more of them from the same place. So we got to start with what have we done to build our practice and get to where we are, and maybe we can leverage that experience to get more clients. So those are the three assignments. And every week we'll try and do that. We'll try and have 3 assignments, just so you don't go crazy.
Okay, fair.
But we got to make progress. Okay. And you're getting used to being working from home, and you know it's not crazy. Today is a little nuts, but normally we don't have 500 days up and down.
Yeah, we back to back 2 of them. We need to backstop this. So under the organization, can you just go over I got the segmentation, the top 30. We've got that. I've got the acquisition thing to look through. Now, organization, just go over that one more 30 seconds.
All right. So Jennifer's going to build. We have something called the scheduler. And the scheduler takes what would be normally complicated topic and makes it easy. So if I'm your client and you say, Rob, I'm going to do 1242 with you. I'm going to call you 12 times. We're going to have 12 contacts. 4 of them are going to be reviews. 2 of them are going to be in person. And I'm going to schedule them equally with equal distribution for the whole year.
Okay.
Well, that would be hard to do manually. I mean, you could do 1 or 2, but to do your entire 100 people would be like wicked hard work. And then it would change. And so what we do is we schedule the first Tuesday of the month at 9 o'clock in the morning for Rob Knapp for the rest of the whole time. Okay.
Okay.
So that's what the scheduler is about. So really in terms of organization, it's Jennifer's role here to take over that. Okay.
Okay. I got it.
Got it. All right, Rick.
Tackle. We'll do 10. We'll work on 10 of these and have a report back for you for next week.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.